Today, I'm going to tell you the story of when I was viciously attacked by my ex-boyfriend's ex-girlfriend. Buckle up, because it's a good one! Ooh, y'all, so many twists and turns in this one. So, we'll take it from the top. When I was 18 years old, I went to a party at a director's house named Shane Black. He did a bunch of like 90s action movies, and he had this massive mansion like with an elevator and shit. And if you took the elevator up to the sixth floor, you arrived at a dance club in his house. Shane Black had a motherfucking dance club in his motherfucking house. So there I was, standing at the bar, of course, this is pre-sobriety days, having myself a drink or six at a dance club in this motherfucker's house. And I'm sipping my drink at the bar, and I see this attractive man holding a tiny black chihuahua. Of course, I'm going to approach the chihuahua. When have you seen a chihuahua and not thought, I need to approach it? Oh, I'm approaching the chihuahua. So I go up and I say, sir, may I please pet your chihuahua? He looked at me and he said, of course. This is Comet and my name is Rudolph. I said, wait, which one's Rudolph? And which one's Comet? Hold on. I just now got why he named his dog Comet. Because of the reindeers. Man. I never connected those dots. But anyhow, he said, the dog is Comet. My name is Rudolph. I said, oh, hi. I'm Laura. Nice to meet you. Back to Comet. Petting this cute-ass little black chihuahua. Enjoying my life, we get to talking. He asked me for my number, and we exchange numbers. And he calls me maybe a week later to ask me out on a date to go to dinner. So I say yes. He picks me up, and I remember I was pretty nervous about the date, and so I put on every single piece of jewelry that I owned, like. Every piece of jewelry that I ever owned, I just put it on. I don't know why I did this, but I put on like 20 bracelets and 6 necklaces and earrings. I just loaded the shit on. I don't know why I thought the more the better, but I did. And I was jingling down to the car. And I get in, and he's like, wow, that's a lot of jewelry. It's like, and I was like, it's cool. It's what's in right now. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, man. Anyways, we go to this, like, whatever, Thai restaurant. It's cool. But we end up hitting it off. Sorry, Steven, if you're listening. This was my past. I don't know why I'm apologizing. You were literally married for 10 fucking years before you met me. So, look, we had lives before we met each other. It's okay. We're together now. Hey, babe. He doesn't compare to you. Oh, babe, you're the one, okay? I love you. Okay. So, back before I knew Steven existed, we go on this date. We hit it off. And we start dating, and then things get pretty serious. Now I'm around 19. We've probably been together for around 6 months. I'm living with him in his one-bedroom apartment in West Hollywood. Rudolph was and is an actor. He was actually, you could look him up, he was the villain in that show Dexter. I can't remember what his character name was, but he was like the villain guy. He always played the villain in movies and TV shows. But in real life, he was the nicest person ever. The one weird thing looking back, though, is that he was 17 years older than me. So I was 18 and he was 37. And looking back, that's very weird. And I didn't think it was weird then. But nonetheless, even though it's a little sketchy, our age difference, he was at that time the best thing that could have happened to me. I was in my drug addiction. I was totally out of control in my life. He was against drugs. He got me into doing yoga. He taught me how to cook. He would wake me up early in the morning and like drag me out of bed and sit me down on the patio so I'd get some sun. And he's like, you need your vitamin D in the morning. You cannot sleep in. So he was a good influence on me. So he taught me a lot of things. He even got me my first commercial agent because he knew that I wanted to be an actor. And so he got me a meeting with his commercial agent and they signed me. And I like ended up booking a commercial. My very first commercial ever was for a Spanish cell phone. I had no fucking clue what anyone was saying. I just was dancing around with a cell phone with like this crop top on. And I was just dancing around with this cell phone. And then I remember my friend I grew up with went to Spain for school. And fucking she called me and was like, I saw you on TV on a Spanish cell phone commercial. And I was like, hell yeah, you did. Anyway, I digress. So he was a good influence on me. And he tried his best to help me to live a healthy, functional life. So I am forever grateful to him for that. Okay, so on to the good juicy shit. So remember that dog Comet? Well, he had rescued that dog Comet, that little black chihuahua, with his ex-girlfriend, whose name was Sugar. Now, Sugar was not her birth name. I don't know. I think her birth name was like Donna Marie, maybe, but I can't remember if that's true or not, or if I just made that up. But I think it was, but maybe not. Long story long, they called her Sugar because she was friends with Prince, and Prince named her Sugar. Prince said, that should be your new name, and she literally got it legally changed to Sugar because of Prince. I don't know why. I just know that's what happened. Okay, fucking Hollywood is weird, dude. Anyway, so Rudolph sits me down one day and he's like, Laura, my ex-girlfriend Sugar wants to meet you. And I was like, that's a terrible idea. And he was like, yes, but see, we are co-parenting. I'm sorry, what? You have a child? No, we have a dog, Comet. Right, got it. We are co-parenting this dog. Okay, little different, but okay. I hope this mic's not popping too much. Hopefully Steven can fix it in post, but it's the only mic we have right now because the other one broke. Anyway, he suggests that we meet, or that I meet Sugar. Sugar wanted to meet me. I was against it, and then he was like, look, basically, they would co-parent this fucking dog, and every 2 weeks, they'd, you know, Rudolph would drop the dog off at Sugar's, and then Sugar would drop the dog off at Rudolph's every 2 weeks because they couldn't, you know, decide, okay, I'm taking the dog or you're taking the dog. They both wanted the dog, so they were still co-parenting the dog. So Sugar would feel more comfortable if she met Comet's new stepmom. This is getting weird. This is getting a little weird, but whatever, dude. If it makes everyone feel comfortable, fine. So Sugar makes her way over. I'm very nervous. She walks in with Comet to drop Comet off. Rudolph looks at the two of us and says nervously, would anyone like some tea? Sugar says, yes, I would. She was very dramatic. And I said, sure, I'll have some too. So Rudolph goes in the kitchen to make some tea. Meanwhile, Sugar and I are sitting in the living room. We're sitting across from each other. I am not kidding you. Now, you're going to think, oh, Laura, you're exaggerating this story for dramatic effect. No, I'm not. This is one of these moments that will live on in my memory, in my very shitty memory forever. I don't have a great memory. And so when I remember things to a T, I remember things. There's a reason, because they affected me. So we're sitting across from each other and she looks at me. She crosses her legs. And I'm not kidding you. This is the first thing she ever said to me. So, Laura, am I ever going to get to see what Rudolph sees in you? I'm not kidding you. That is the first thing she said. Why she felt that was appropriate is beyond me. But I was so nervous and hated confrontation and still do. So I responded, probably not. That's just what I felt I should say. Probably not. I didn't think she ever would. She clearly was not open to really becoming friends with me. She just wanted to start shit. So then Rudolph comes back with the tea. It's very awkward. He hands the tea to Sugar, who then looks at Rudolph and goes, "It's hot." To which I responded, "It's tea." She turns to me pissed. How dare I? How dare I? She looks at me and goes, "Are you accusing me of not knowing what tea is, Laura? Do you really think that I don't know what tea is?" Sugar was one of those girls with crazy eyes, right? Crazy eyes. You know those people that you look at right away with the crazy eyes and you just don't trust them? She had those eyes. Well, she starts coming after me, attacking me, going, "How dare you accuse me of not knowing what tea is, Laura?" Like that, just really exaggerated. Now, Rudolph apparently hates confrontation too, because he just sat back and watched this happen. He looked very uncomfortable, but he certainly wasn't stepping into my defense. So I got up and I said, I have to go. I have to go. I have to go. And I shoot out the front door and I just start running. I start running down the motherfucking street so fast. I don't know where I was going. I just needed to get away from that conflict. I was so uncomfortable. And so I just kept running and running and running. Eventually, I made it to my sisters who lived a couple blocks away, and I was crying to her and I told her the whole thing, and I just didn't know why she had to come at me like that. Anyway, cut to 2 weeks later, my sister and I are out to eat and Rudolph calls, "Laura, yes, I just want to let you know Sugar is coming over to pick up the stupid dog." Okay, not a stupid dog, but gosh, this dog did cause a lot of problems. I wish just one of them would have kept the dog. Okay, so he goes, "Sugar's coming over to pick up the dog. If you do not want to run into her, I'd wait at least 30 minutes before you come home." I said, "Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And I will be back in 35 minutes because I never want to see her again." He said, "Okay, I understand." I hang up the phone. My sister says, "Who was that?" I said, "It was Rudolph." "What did he say?" "He said that Sugar is coming over to pick up Comet, the dog, and to wait 30 minutes before I come home so I don't run into her again." And Colleen says, "Let's go." I said, "Go where?" She said, "Let's go over there." I said, "What, are you crazy? I don't want to see her." She said, "I want to see the bitch who made my sister cry." And if you know my sister, which you definitely don't because she's basically Amish living on a farm with minimal friends and no social media. But if you knew her, you would know she is the most introverted, peaceful, level-headed person you'll ever meet in your life. So it was very out of character for her to want to go start some shit. But nonetheless, she wanted to go start some shit. So I said, "Fuck it, let's go." So we go back to the apartment. Now, I lived in it on the second floor of this one-bedroom apartment. You climbed up these steep set of stairs, and there was this little patio out front, and then walk into the apartment. So we walk up the stairs, and I look in the apartment. There's no one there yet, so they're not home yet. So Colleen and I decide to sit out on the patio by the front door. So we're sitting there on the patio, and all of a sudden, who walks up the stairs glaring at me? None other than Sugar. She stares at me and she looks at me just with such attitude and she goes, "Hello, Laura." Just like that, like so dramatic for no reason. And what do? I say nothing. I completely ignore her. I decided in my head that I was going to pretend like she didn't exist. She was so horrible to me the first time we met. I didn't want anything to do with her. My sister wanted to come and meet her. Fine. That's her prerogative. I did not want anything to do with her. So I just didn't say anything. I just kept enjoying the view of the parking lot. Then she said for a second time, "Hello, Laura." And I just didn't say anything. Then my sister stands up, puts her hand out and says, "Hi, I'm Colleen," which I'm sure she thought she had a lot of attitude when she was saying it, but she was really still very sweet. Sugar shakes her hand and says, "Finally, someone with some class." I still ignore her, though I'm heating up inside. Then Rudolph comes walking up the stairs. He sees me, Colleen, and Sugar standing on this tiny little balcony on the second floor, and he starts running up the stairs like, "Oh shit, what is going on?" Sugar sees him, turns around and goes, "Rudolph, why'd you invite me over when this stupid bitch was here?" And this is not a quote. This is not an exaggeration. "Rudolph, why did you invite me over when this stupid bitch was here?" And at that point, I lost it. I was so sick of being disrespected. I got up. I said, "Get the fuck out of my apartment." And then she goes, "Oh, hell no." She goes, "I'm going to rip your hair out. Your legs are going to break." She runs towards me, grabs my hair, yanks out a chunk of my motherfucking hair, probably like 15 strands, but nonetheless, a lot of hair. She rips out my hair and she starts waving it back and forth rhythmically saying, "I'm gonna break your legs. You're gonna have to go to the hospital. Your legs are gonna break. You're never gonna be able to walk again." Saying all this crazy shit. I'm like, "You're the devil. I think you're the devil. I think you're the fucking devil." And she's waving my hair, going, "Your legs are gonna break." Fucking creepiest shit I've ever heard in my life. I don't know what's going on. Then Rudolph starts yelling from the stairwell. He's still on the stairway going, "Sugar, no, you cannot do that. You cannot pull someone's hair out. Give Laura her hair back. Give Laura her hair back now." She's waving my hair. I'm freaking out. Then she runs towards me. My sister gets in the middle. "Hey, back up. Get away from my sister." I fucking run inside. I literally run inside the apartment. I look at Common. I'm like, "This is all your fault." Then I run into the bathroom and I'm hiding in the bathroom thinking she's going to fucking kill me. And meanwhile, my sister, who relays this part to me later, is standing on the other side of the door. Sugar's trying to get in. Let me in. Colleen says, "My sister's in there." She goes, "My dog's in there." She goes, "My sister's in there. You are not going in there." Colleen totally protected me throughout this. Anyway, Sugar ends up leaving, and it was just the craziest shit that's ever happened to me. Like, so what I find out later is that she was into like voodoo shit, right? So she was planning on taking my hair, and she probably did do this, and it didn't work, bitch. My legs still work. But literally, she, the plan was to take my hair and put it to a voodoo doll and put a curse on me. So that was that whole, like, "Your legs are going to break, da 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 da." She was into, like, witchcraft and voodoo stuff. I don't really know much about that world, but she was super into that. So that was her plan, was to put a curse on me. And that's why she was waving my hair like that. But, dude, it was the craziest shit that ever happened to me. And then the story gets really, really dark from here. Really, really dark. So trigger warning, suicide. Okay. Trigger warning. So cut to a few weeks later. I'm going down to my car to get groceries. I arrive at my car and the passenger side window is completely smashed. It's completely broken into. And I just look at that window and I put my fist up and I'm like, "Sugar." I just knew. Like, I just knew she saw my car and she smashed my window in. I just knew it. So I go up, I tell Rudolph, "Look, I think your ex-girlfriend is like taking this to a dangerous level." And he was like, "I don't think she would do that." I'm like, "What? She, you know, screamed at me, disrespected me, pulled my hair out, tried to put a curse on me." Oh my God. And then this other bit that I left out was when she came over that initial time to meet me, she brought a joint for me. And she said she rolled it especially for me. Bitch, you think I'm smoking that shit? And I was a drug addict. And she thinks I'm smoking that. I guarantee you she put some shit in there. Like some poison, some something that was going to make me sick or hallucinate something. She literally rolled a joint, especially for me. Like, are you kidding me? I said, no, thank you. Anyway, so Rudolph is like naive and thinking this definitely was not her. There's no way she could do that. I'm like, are you crazy? She's already assaulted me, threatened me, tried to curse me. You don't think she could fucking knock my passenger window out? So then a couple more weeks pass. Sugar calls Rudolph. This time it gets really serious. Sugar says, I am going to kill myself. You need to come pick up the dog now because I'm going to end my life. And Rudolph says, stay there right now. So Rudolph runs over to the house. He also calls the police and he says that his ex-girlfriend is threatening to commit suicide. When he shows up to the house, she has a knife to her neck. And he is talking her off the ledge. He's saying, don't do this. You don't want to do this. And she's got a knife to her neck saying, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And then the police show up and they take her to a mental institution. And she spends about a month in this mental institution. And then she gets out and we don't hear anything from her. She stops calling about the dog. Months go by, and it's a little concerning. And then we get the news from her parents, who, this is just another insane thing, literally lived, I'm not kidding, 10 minutes away from where I grew up. So I grew up in Downers Grove, Illinois, which is a suburb like 20 miles west of Chicago. And she grew up in Orland Park, which is, I think it's also west. I'm really bad with directions, but it's basically a suburb outside of Chicago, like literally a 10, 15 minute drive from me. So she grew up incredibly close to me. And her parents call Rudolph and inform Rudolph that she did. She went back home. And while her parents were out at church, she committed suicide. In her car in the garage. And then just when you think it can't get any darker, apparently, you know, she was half black, half white, but both her parents were white. And her mom would never tell her. Sorry. Her mom would never tell her why she looked the way she did growing up. All growing up, she didn't know why. You know, do I have brown skin? And both of you guys are white. You know, am I adopted? What's going on? And then it came out that her mom was raped by a black man. And Sugar was the product of that. So, incredibly dark. I can see... You know, her mom never fully accepted her. Her mom actually, you know, didn't have a close relationship with her. And I can see why her mom struggled. I can see why Sugar struggled. It all kind of makes sense why she was so fucked up in the head because of all of the trauma she had experienced. So that is the story of when I was attacked and assaulted by my ex-boyfriend's ex-girlfriend. Is that wild or what? Yeah. The reason I thought to tell you this is because I had a Rudolph was in my dream. It wasn't like, you know, he just appeared in my dream. I'm not going to bore you with my dream stories, but that's what made me think of it. It's just like he was just running, hello, in my dream. Like I just saw him and then I thought of this. But I have so many more stories like this. So if you go to Amazon or Audible or clearly like to listen to things because you're listening to this podcast, so you can download my audiobook on Audible or wherever audiobooks are sold. This is a story from my first book, Idiot, and there are so many more like this. And I actually go into much more detail of this whole saga in my book. So you can download it. It's called Idiot. I also, if you've read the first one, I wrote a second one called Idiots. I narrate both of them. But yeah, man, that's it. Life is crazy. And it's just so wild. It feels like a different lifetime ago. Like it truly, when I think about that time, it just feels like a different lifetime ago. He was my first pretty serious boyfriend. And so after that, we were fine. And then what happened was my addiction progressed. And he tried his best to get me off drugs and just couldn't do it. But still, he stuck by me, you know, even though I was an active addict, he just still stuck by me and encouraged me. Like I said, he got me into yoga. He literally showed me that there was a park called Palmer Park right by our apartment. And there was a community center. And in it, there was a senior yoga class. It was at the Jewish Senior Center. So I would go take yoga at the Jewish Senior Center. I'm not kidding you. It was $2 a class. And it was me and like 10 90-year-olds. And these motherfuckers impressed me so much. Literally, they're doing headstands, handstands, also bickering a lot, but it was amazing. It was $2 a class. They were all so old. This one woman would knit sweaters for Comet, for our little chihuahua, and like give them to me. It was so sweet. And what was really funny was that the instructor was a straight up ex-con, and I think they probably paid really poorly, and maybe he was struggling to get work, and the only place that would hire him was this Jewish Senior Center. And he was covered in tats everywhere. He had like a mohawk and this really deep smoker's voice. And he and Norma would fight like fucking crazy people every week. They would be bickering. His name was Ralph. And he would just be, you know, chewing Norma out. Norma would be like, "Don't talk to me like that." And Ralph's like, "What are you going to do about it, huh?" Norma's like, "Oh, I swear to God, da 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 da," and they just be back, you know, arguing like crazy. And then these students would be dropping like flies too. I'd be like, "Where's George? Has anyone seen George?" And they're like, "Oh, George, yeah, he didn't make it." Oh shit, George didn't make it. He was just doing Warrior 3 last week. Yeah, now he's doing Savasana. 6 feet under. Damn. But anyway, I loved it. I loved taking yoga there. And I love that like no one was like, "You're 20 now?" Nobody said anything. $2 a class. You can't beat it. You cannot beat it. One day I was walking home from yoga and I was with my friend who was visiting from Chicago, and there were like these little kid, not little kids, maybe like 13-year-old boys who were like skateboarding at the park. And I just turned to my friend Lauren and I was like, "Should I moon them right now?" And she was like, "Obviously, yes, you should moon them." I was going through a mooning phase. I went through a phase where I was mooning everyone I could see, really. I just, my sister, you know, and Rudolph would be like, "It's not funny when girls do it. Do not moon." And I was like, "I think it's still funny. I think you're wrong about that. We have to agree to disagree. Mooning will never not be funny. Doesn't matter if you're they, he, she, it's funny. Butt cheeks, never not funny." So I was in my mooning phase, and Lauren, I was like, "Lauren, should I moon these group of skateboarders?" And she was like, "Yes, you should." So I just moon them. I was like, "Hey," and I just moon them and walk away. Well, that was a mistake, because these punks started following me, and rightfully so. I just moon them. They start like following me and harassing me, and like, you know, they were like, "What the fuck, dude? This lady just showed us her butt," like, you know. So they start talking shit, and then we run upstairs. Then I take my dog for a walk the next day, and there those kids are back again. And they start threatening to like hurt my dog and just, they were just being total punks. And I just remember running up the stairs, locking it, going like, what am I doing? I think that was the last time I ever mooned anyone because they were pissed and getting aggressive. Or maybe they were like, you know, going through puberty and like sexually frustrated and like saw a female butt and they just were, you know, angry and hormonal about it. I don't know. But I stopped mooning after that. That's basically the gist of that story. So anyway, Rudolph and my relationship continued to struggle. I think the age difference was obviously huge. He would forgive me time and time again. I would say that I would stop doing coke or, you know, this and that. I was even unfaithful to him at times because I was a selfish addict and I just wasn't ready to settle down. And I was so young. I just wanted to go out and, you know, party and he wasn't there. But anyway, he'd forgive me time and time again. And again, I was terrible with confrontation. I didn't know how to say, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore. I didn't know how to say it, how to have that adult conversation. And I think, you know, I always loved him, but I just wasn't ready to settle down. It got to the point where like he wanted to, you know, get married and have kids. Now at this point, he's what, 38, 39? And I am nowhere near ready, nowhere near. So instead of sitting him down and just telling him I'm not ready, I think we're at different points in our lives, I think we should go our separate ways. Instead of doing that, what do? I literally go to a bar, meet some random Irish guy at the bar who says to me, hey, would you like to go to Mexico with me? And I say, yeah, sure, why not? So I pick him up the next day in Rudolph's car and we literally drive to Tijuana. I'm not proud of this. This was close to my bottom and it had nothing to do with the Irish guy. In fact, I couldn't fucking stand the dude. He was so annoying. We didn't have the same taste in music. We were bickering like an old married couple the entire way to Tijuana. Like it was horrible. I just was trying to escape my reality and rather than have real confrontations and real conversations, hard conversations, I was just running away from my life. So I ran to Tijuana. I called him when I got there. He picks up the phone. Hello. And I respond, Rudolph, I'm in Tijuana. And he's like, come home, Laura. I mean, it was a fucking movie, dude. A really bad movie. So I eventually make it back. And that's just a whole other episode is the shit that happened the way to Mexico, in Mexico, and out of Mexico is a whole nother episode. But long story long, I get back and he says, you know what? We're done. We're through. You have to leave. And I could tell he was really, really heartbroken. So I flew back to Downers Grove and I go out to have lunch with my godmother. We always went to this Mexican restaurant, ironically enough. That was like where we went. It was on Ogden Avenue. And you know Ogden Avenue, right? And my aunt is such a character, right? She always has these big fur coats and too much Botox and always smoking a cigarette. I mean, she was so glamorous for no reason. And she looks at me and she goes, you look like shit. Your hair looks like a rat's nest, Laura. And I was like, Aunt Denise? And she goes, I can tell you have a problem. I can tell you need to stop drinking. If you don't stop, it's going to kill you. She was very upfront with me. My aunt is one of the only sober people in my family. In fact, she is the only sober person besides me on the Clary side, full of alcoholics and drug addicts. Okay. As a lot of you might know, I lost my cousin who I was very close with, who was only 37 to an overdose last year. So it's all over the family, okay? My aunt had been sober for 20 years and she just looked at me and she knows because we know, right? We know. She knew I had a problem and she was the first person to say, you know, you've got to go to AA. That's where I went, you know, go to rehab, AA. It saved my life. Consider it. You can't keep going like this. I can tell you're sick. And for some reason, it just really stuck with me. And then I flew back to LA and I started getting sober one day at a time. I would go in and out of the program. I was still very young, but eventually I got it. Eventually it stuck. It took, you know, a couple times. So if you're struggling out there and listening and you keep relapsing, or you think, oh, I don't have a problem. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, yes, I do. You know, it's okay. It's one day at a time. And you just keep going back. You just keep trying. Someone told me once, my best friend's mom, Jack's mom, Carolyn, shout out to Carolyn McAlpin. She told me the best way to quit smoking is to keep quitting. And I was like, okay, no, seriously, just keep quitting. I quit yesterday. I started using again. Just keep quitting. Quit again. Just quit again, quit again, quit again. And one day it'll stop. One day you will be 100% ready to let go of that drink or that drug or whatever your addiction is. You will have that full willingness to get clean one day at a time. It is possible. Recovery is possible. Change is possible. So I eventually ended up making amends to Rudolph. I remember we sat at a cafe. We sat at this cafe called Kings Road Cafe. And I made amends to him. I read him a whole letter and he seemed to really forgive me. He said I looked too skinny. He was engaged. I said, you know, are you in love? And he's like, I suppose I am. Just very like German and matter of fact about it. But yeah, I made peace with him and he forgave me. And that's a big, big principle in the program, is to right your wrongs and to make amends. Where have you been selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, or afraid? We must keep our side of the street clean if we want to stay clean. We must keep our side of the street clean. You know, making amends is such an integral part of staying sober. And even if you're not an addict, it's still keeping your side of the street clean allows you to walk around more freely, not riddled with guilt, anxiety, shame. No. We mess up. It's progress, not perfection. But, you know, we have to step out of our comfort zone and be willing to find our part in whatever situation we're in and try and make it right to the best of our abilities. So yeah, that's what I did with Rudolph. And life is a wild ride. Life is a wild ride. I hope you enjoyed the story. I have many, many more that I'll be sharing with you on this podcast. So if you love a good story, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And make sure to subscribe to my YouTube as well. There's a video podcast on there. If you want to watch my face, which I can't, I'm not wearing makeup right now because I'm terrified of styes coming back. So I don't wear makeup unless I have like a proper, whoops, I kicked the camera. I didn't mean to do that. I kicked the camera. But anyway, if you don't like, or wait, what the fuck was I saying? Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. So yeah, just, I don't want to get styes. So I only put makeup on when I do professional shoots. I'm not wearing any eye makeup any other time because I'm terrified of getting styes. I had 2 styes the other month and it was the most fucked up, horrendous shit I've ever experienced. Honestly, it was up there with childbirth. It was so painful. Yeah, so make sure to subscribe to my YouTube, where I'll be posting clips and full episodes on there, as well as y'all know I have a children's show coming out. So if you have young kids, y'all have to subscribe to Pammy's World. It's called Pammy's World. It's a children's show starring Pamela Pupkin, and it's funny as shit, like even to adults, but it's also super educational and fun for young kids too. So it means so much to me if you'd go subscribe to my YouTube channels. And obviously, if you haven't listened to my books yet, download them on Audible. They're full of stories like this. I think you'll enjoy them. It'll certainly make you feel better about your life decisions. Okay, I love y'all. Until next time, and as always, to end out, please, for me, you're here, you made it this long, think about 5 things you're grateful for right now. It's really, really hard to be pissed off and grateful at the same time. Just 5 things. Ready? 5 things. Okay, I'll go first. I'm grateful for the sun. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for my sobriety. I'm grateful for Steven. I'm grateful for all of you. That was 5. I could keep going. I could keep going. All right, let's stay grateful. Let's stay present. And let's keep our side of the street clean.